WSBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, Irish fans. You're listening to another edition of Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me is Mike Brammer. And we're going to spend about 15 minutes talking about recent developments in Notre Dame recruiting for football as well as basketball. A lot of news with the Kyle McElhinney situation, the win over Villanova, and the upcoming game against Syracuse later on today. So we got a lot to talk about. Let's get right to it. Bram, let's start with football. And in recruiting news, the Irish took a huge hit last week with the decommitment of arguably the top defensive recruit for the upcoming class. Justin Tratow from New Jersey, a big kid on the defensive line, listed as a defensive end, but could have played defensive tackle, and he decommitted to go to, of all places, Florida and Urban Meyer. That hurts.
Yeah, disappointing to say the least, simply because if anybody watched that Army All-American All-Star game, I thought, at least watching it, he was the best defensive player on the field.
Yeah, this is the problem with recruiting, is he's in that All-American game. You know, you watch him, he looks like a stud. Florida wants him. But then Tom Lemming doesn't have him as one of his top 100 recruits
strange.
In the country.
Right, strange. Now, on top of all that, he's like the seventh lineman to commit defensively for Florida.
So, and Florida just picked up another stud recruit on defense, a kid Notre Dame was recruiting, Major Wright, a linebacker out of Florida, chose to stay in state and go to Florida. And he was a kid that Notre Dame, you know, Notre Dame was one of his finalists. So Meyer and Ford are having a monster recruiting year right now.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you pull off a huge win like that and get all the exposure, you're going to have some windfall from that. And clearly, I think, you know, if Florida would have gotten blown out in that game, I don't know if you really see both these guys commit. Major Wright, maybe. I don't know that we really had a great shot with him. But I certainly don't think Justin would have jumped ship had that happened. But, I mean, that's, you know, I think we got to ask yourself is, all right, if a kid does this, I mean, do we really want that kid? If his heart really isn't in Notre Dame, then, you know what, he's probably doing the right thing.
Yeah, I guess. And one of the key reasons why he decommitted was not the glamour of Florida necessarily, but with Corlin Brown coming on as the new defensive coordinator, the Notre Dame defensive scheme is going to switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and this kid says he didn't want to play in that system because it wouldn't play to his strengths. So, you know, that's a little hard to take. I think the kid's being a little bit of a prima donna, you know.
No kidding. I mean, come on. It's like Chris Leak faxing, wanting the plans for him FedEx to him before he made his decision, you know, from Iowa and Florida when it came down to those two.
Yeah.
I mean, this is starting to get out of hand.
Oh, it is out of hand. It's out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, unfortunately, that's the nature of the beast right now with recruiting. I mean, you do anything and everything to get a kid to come to you, and then once he come to you, you know, then that becomes a totally different ballgame to start now.
So the loss of Tratow, where does this put this class, this recruiting class, which everybody has it as a top 10 class, but does it really address the most glaring needs of this football team, which is the defensive side of things? I think you could make the case that 2 years in a row, Charlie and his staff have whiffed at getting impact players in the front seven.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, if you take the recruiting classes and split them, offense versus defense, you might have Notre Dame in the top three offensively. Problem is, we're probably like 18th to 20th when it comes to defense.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But you know, that's where the problems lie.
Right. In the kids that Charlie Weiss has signed and brought in, collectively, there's good balance in terms of the numbers of offensive kids versus the numbers of defensive kids. It's not that, you know, they've not brought in enough defensive kids, but the quality, there's a gap between, you know, by and large, he's bringing in 4- and 5-star guys on offense and bringing in, you know, mainly 3-star guys on defense with a few 4-star guys. So we just haven't been able to bring in that kid that is a difference maker, and that, you know, that's what we're going to need to do.
Yeah, but one thing you can ask yourself is over the last 5 years, what Charlie's brought in the last 2 years on defense, how does that compare to the talent we've brought in the last five years?
Well, it's about the same, but that's the problem.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. Right. That'll be the question mark. Maybe these guys were a little better at least of picking the higher end of the three-star guys. I mean, that's about the only thing you can hope for right now.
Right.
But clearly, we just don't have that stud linebacker, that stud defensive tackle that we need, and that stud safety. I mean, it's just not there.
Well, I think they've addressed the secondary. I don't think there's any question about that. The last 2 years, the biggest successes on defense, on defensive recruiting, have been in the secondary. But now it's the guys up front. And, you know, you got to coach the ones you got and not worry about the ones you miss out on. But I think it just makes next year's recruiting effort even that much more critical. And hopefully Corwin Brown is going to be a guy that can really land those prize recruits.
Yeah.
Now, in the good news from recruiting in football has been the possible addition of a linebacker who verbally committed to Iowa by the name of Chris Smith. And his dad played football for Notre Dame under Jerry Faust. He was a running back. Some of you may remember Chris Smith. This kid, Brian Smith, is his son, and he verbally committed to Iowa, but now Iowa has pulled his scholarship because Notre Dame is now involved with him. So indications are that he might be coming here, and that would be a nice pickup, but certainly doesn't make up for the near misses that we had with some of the real elite kids in the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
go ahead.
I was going to say he doesn't stack up with the kid out of Tennessee that we lost, but certainly, I mean, anytime you get a kid that all of the Big Ten schools were looking at, I mean, obviously he's a decent football player, so
right.
It's one you take, that's for sure.
Okay. Moving on to basketball, a lot of news to report. Both the expulsion, well, it wasn't an expulsion. Kyle McElhinney suspended from school for the spring semester, in essence. You know, being expelled, and then his decision to, intend to come back to Notre Dame in the summer semester, you know, seek readmission to the university. So here's the question on everybody's mind: was Notre Dame treating Kyle McElhinney fairly when they suspended him for the semester the university, not from the basketball team, from the university?
Right. If you talk to Kyle and his parents, clearly not. I mean, they were really upset over the whole situation, just the way that it was handled. But, I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to look at this. The fact of the matter was he wasn't treated any differently than any other student at the university.
I agree with you. I think that's the thing that people are missing is that he was not made an example. You know, they didn't try to screw the basketball team. This is what they do to students. So that begs the question, is Notre Dame's policies out of step with the culture? And I know we don't want to open up the cultural wars here, but it was a penalty too harsh.
Yeah, and I tell you, you had asked me that maybe 5 years ago. I'd have said, no way, get him out of here. But things are a lot different, I think, in this culture today. And you know, what's wrong with putting the kid on probation and saying, look, one more time and you're gone? Instead, it's right away. Now, I'm sure the university in defense of them is going to say, wait a minute, this is absolutely clear in Duloc that, hey, here are the ramifications for this. But the fact of the matter is, as a kid, I mean, nobody's reading Duloc on their spare time. You know, nobody is saying, all right, maybe I'll get caught. I mean, all of a sudden you get caught and it's like, holy cow.
Well, I think the people's point, had he been suspended from the basketball team for the semester, it's taken away the worst thing you could take away from the kid, okay? And isn't that penalty enough? I think the reason you had to remove him from school as the penalty is because if you're an average student at Notre Dame who does not play sports, what's the penalty going to be? They can't take away just sports from you and leave you in school. In order to be consistent with how they treat non-athletes, they have to take away, you know, the participation in the community. You can't take Joe Blow from Soren Hall and deny him sports if he doesn't play sports, but you can kick him out of school or suspend him from school. You have to use that same standard with the athlete. I don't think sports participation in athletics can be, you know, can be the penalty that you inflict upon the kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. And you know, the fact of the matter is, he is a student at Notre Dame. Just because he's on the basketball team doesn't mean that he should get an extra added insurance policy of three strikes and you're out.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't. I mean, it just, you know, I think it's something Notre Dame has to look at. Notre Dame has to look at this and say, okay, in fairness to the entire student body, not just the kid who doesn't care about, who's not going to get in the press if he gets caught, how does this reflect on us as a university as a whole, knowing that, you know, this is the landscape
right.
that we deal with?
Well, I tell you, the way it's reflected on the university, no matter what Notre Dame does, it's a public relations disaster, it seems. They enforce standards, take the high road, they get criticized nationally. Had they let McElhorney stay on the team, they would have been criticized nationally. You know, it's a no-win situation when you're in the spotlight like that.
Yeah, you're going to get nailed no matter
what. Dick Vitale wrote a piece criticizing Notre Dame's decision. You know, it's just everybody's piling on now at this point. And it's a bit odd when, you know, here's an institution that is imposing standards. Hey, we have standards. You violated them. We're not going to accept this. And then we get criticized for that. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Let's turn to our attention to the positive side of this. I think Mike Brace handled it beautifully and was able to get McElhorney to say, yeah, I want to come back. I am not going to leave Notre Dame as a result of this. And I think that's a real credit to Mike Bray, his staff, and the, you know, the spirit and camaraderie that they have developed with this team. And you're seeing the results on the basketball court as well.
Yeah, no, it's had a positive effect. There's no doubt. I mean, anytime you go through a difficult situation like that and you still get the kid to say, you know what, in spite of everything, I still want to come back. Now, I still think it's going to be a tough, tough semester for him to sit out and still have the desire to come back.
The kid's a gym rat. I don't think so. I think it's going to make him all the more hungrier to be back and to be have his game in shape. When you see people having success without you, that makes you hungry, don't you think?
Oh, no, I don't have a problem with what his work ethic and everything. My fear is that he's going to think this through and become bitter and then change his mind again come summer.
No.
But, we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see if that does happen.
Yeah, if he was going to change his mind, he should do it now where he can be a part of some other basketball program. He's not going to wait and then see doors close on him. I don't think that that's something we have to worry about. Now, basketball team played a really hard-fought game against Villanova over the weekend in a game I really felt we had to have. Bouncing back from the loss to St. John's, that Villanova game was huge, and they got the job done in a very physical contest. What do you think about the state of the basketball program right now? We're sitting at 17-4, 5-3 in the Big East going into tonight's big showdown against Syracuse. What can this basketball team accomplish this year?
Well, there's still some unknowns. You know, certainly people locally that go to the games and see it have now figured out that there clearly is a problem with Russell Carter and Mike Bray and whatever it is. Carter did not play the last 7 minutes of the Villanova game.
Yeah, Bray sat his butt down on the bench, didn't he?
And we still won, which is a good sign. But having said that, that is your team leader. I mean, that is a guy who has the ability to take over at times during the game, and we need him down the stretch. We can't have him. So something is going on that drastic.
It's great news that they were able to pull that game out with Carter sitting on the bench. I mean, you know, what position does Russell Carter have now when the message has been clearly sent, hey, Russell, we don't need to deal with your drama. We could still win with the game on the line. You know, it's my way or the highway, basically, is what Bray said to me.
I agree, but it's got to be his way. In other words, he is going to have to get his way back in there because we won't do real well without Russell Carter.
He will. He will.
Sure he will. I just think that you know, that's a problem we've got to address.
It is.
I mean, there's some key games left. I think there's a lot of basketball to be played. It's still a bit early. I mean, you can't be but happy with the success we've had up to this point. Still a little couple unknowns. I mean, there's some guys that aren't hitting shots that were earlier. Guys playing with a little bit more confidence earlier than they are now. But having said that, I mean, the win against Villanova, if anybody got a chance to see that, was unbelievable. I mean,
real tough win.
A game that we lost all last year.
Every time, no question about it. Couple keys to that game. I thought, obviously, Ryan Harris stepped up big. Not only did he have 5 points down the stretch and big three, he knocked down a huge three and then hit two free throws, but he played some really good defense earlier in the second half on Curtis Sumpter when Sumpter was eating us alive. And same with Zach Hillisland, had to defend Curtis Sumpter and did a pretty good job. But, you know, Ryan Harris came in and gave you that boost from somebody that hasn't contributed a heck of a lot, and I thought that was huge. And then Colin Falls, in Carter's absence, really stepped up, you know, and led the team. At one point, you had down the stretch, you had Colin Falls, you had two freshmen in Jackson and Herengody, and two sophomores in Ayers and Hillsland, And you look at that lineup and you think, how the heck did we win this game? Or how can we beat anybody with some of these guys? Going into the year, I think everybody looked at this and said, we got nothing but role players. There's no star on this team. But that chemistry is working, and Mike Bray's got them playing great basketball. Looking ahead, 8 Big East Conference games left. And of those 8 games, Mike, you know, give me a prediction here on the record over the last 8 games. A, what do you think we're going to do? And B, what's it going to take to get in the NCAA?
Well, I think 4 wins does it. I think if Notre Dame has 21 wins on the season, I don't see how you keep them out.
4 wins is, yeah, you know, that's 5-5 over your last 10, which is not great. But is that enough?
No, I think it's definitely enough. And my fear is, being that in the state of things, my gut instinct is we are going to finish 500 the way out. I don't know why. there's too much of last year lingering.
Well, that puts you 9-7 in the Big East, and the last 2 years that we've been 9-7, we did not make the NCAA. I, you know what? If we're 4-4 in the last 8 games, I think we have to win a first round game in the Big East tournament to solidify things. But well, I think of those last 8 games,
yeah.
We got a shot at going 6-2 in those last 8. Syracuse tonight's going to be real tough, and Marquette's going to be real tough. But the other games then are South Florida, 2 with DePaul, Providence, Cincinnati, and Rutgers. And, you know, you gotta like your chances against some of those teams.
So. My fear is at Rutgers, which we've never played well there. I think we've won once in the last 10 years.
Rutgers is a tough place to play, but they're not very good this year.
They're not, but then again, it's the rack. So.
Yep. Weird things happen there.
And at DePaul, we really have not played well there, consistently at least. I mean, we tend to, for some reason, have trouble there.
We're going to have to steal some road games. You got to win at South Florida, and either at DePaul or at Rutgers. And then you got home games with, Cincinnati's not having a great year, and that's not historically a real tough place to play. So you've got road games at South Florida, at Cincinnati, at Rutgers, at DePaul. If you can go 2-2 in those road games and then hold court at home against Providence and DePaul, there's your 4 wins right there. So
right.
I think 4 wins is the minimum we need to have, and I think we got a good chance to get that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll be back after the Syracuse game to recap that big road game in the Big East Conference for Notre Dame. And also be back to talk about upcoming Irish games and an update on recruiting. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. And again, remember, I'm Dome, but he's Domer.